I'm really disliking Punxsutawney Phil this morning. You know, I think they said 13 more weeks of, and the guy that pulls him out, you know, somebody should have shot him. I shot that groundhog because this is nasty. Nasty, nasty. Thank you for, I'm always blessed to teach, and look forward next couple weeks to kind of, we're going to take a small diversion out of Romans because I couldn't pick up where Keith left off, obviously, and didn't want to steal his thunder. So I meet with a good friend of mine, and we have lots of discussions, particularly on these two things, on kind of staying focused and pressing on and then finishing strong. And I'm going to talk today about kind of pressing on, and then next week I'll talk about I'm hitting 50, so I think I can talk a little bit about finishing strong because I'm kind of feel like I'm getting over the hump, so to speak. Well, you know, I'm not talking about people's ages yet, but that is one of my desires. So, you know, there are many things to look forward to when you get older. I'm now getting the senior discount at Einstein Bagels. I don't get offended so much anymore. So, but going to the cardiologist is not one of them. I remember a few years back that I needed a stress test, you know, and all I thought about, and I'm sure you just think about running with the mask on the treadmill. And the only thing I could think about is, I'm going to have a heart attack right on the treadmill. You know, that's what I think. I'm going to, you know, because they, you know, what I saw on TV or what I hear is they just run you till you're exhausted and they want to see, push your heart to the maximum. And, you know, I did the test and, you know, I don't know how good I did. I was pretty exhausted. And afterwards, my cardiologist threatened to put me on all kinds of medications if I didn't change my life. And most of you don't know that I was overweight and out of shape and I ate fast food all the time. I worked a desk job, you know, kind of the perfect storm. I didn't really get any exercise. I had sleep apnea, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol and a bad right knee. And all those things kind of led to this moment where I needed kind of a wake-up call from the Lord to make changes. And because the Lord loves us, you know, he's working in our lives, right? And he wants us to have aha moments. He wants us to overcome the things in our lives that kind of hang on. You know, and the one thing it's funny because Susan goes to the same cardiologist, and the one thing I liked and I disliked about this doctor was when he wore this little bow tie. And he's this Indian guy, and he was the nicest guy in the world, but he was very direct. I mean, he just said to me, you're going to do this, or I'm going to put you on these meds. And I'm thinking, I'm dried. I'm like, who is he to tell me he's going to threaten me to put me on all this stuff if I don't change my life? And I was a little upset, obviously. And I said, you know, it's not like I'm smoking like three packs of cigarettes a day or drinking or, you know, eating bad all the time. And I'm, you know, having all these rationalizations in my head. But part of me said, maybe he's right. Maybe he's right. And, you know, during that time, Susan was diagnosed with cancer, and she had a surgery. They removed her appendix. And then also there was a concern that the cancer may have spread to her colon. So she had a section of her colon taken out, and she was in the hospital for 30 days. And it was brutal. And during that time, as she struggled with her health and she came back home, I realized that God wants me to be as healthy as I can to take care of my wife. I needed to be healthy so that I could take care of my wife because of her health. And I realized God wanted me not only to be spiritually healthy, but physically healthy. And I needed to take care of my temple. And what I don't want to get you confused about is that I'm not here to talk to you this morning about how to get into shape. But I do want to talk about pressing through adversity when things are hard. And, you know, for some people, losing weight's really hard. Anyone try? Anyone try? It's hard. It's hard. It's hard. You know, try to eat better. It's hard. It's hard. Try to read your Bible consistently every day for so much times a day. hard, right? It's hard. Trying to change your life in certain areas that you know you should, it's not easy. Trying to quit, I know people that have tried to quit smoking for 30, 40 years. It's all those things are challenging. And for some people, that might be easier. And the same thing, you might say, well, I don't struggle with that. But, you know, I don't struggle with reading my Bible, but each of us has weaknesses that we really need to kind of focus on. As my kids were growing up, I would always tell them, because I think parents do this too much, I would always teach my kids that you really need to focus on your weaknesses and understand those and work on those, because your strengths are going to be your strengths. They just kind of shine through. I don't need you to focus on your strengths so much that you forget about your weaknesses, and I tried really hard to get them to see that. And so my goal for you this morning is for you to work on your weaknesses in your life and to press on and grow through them, not to focus on your strengths. I'm going to draw. Oh, I don't have any markers. Oh, right here. A lot of times when we have adversity, you know, here's adversity right here. And I'm just going to draw these circles. It's a good way, at least I've been taught, to kind of talk about adversity. And a lot of times when we run into adversity, we go like this. So we hit this adversity, we see it, and we go, oh, man. And we go right around it. I've done that. You've done that. You know, it's too hard. What's interesting, and when someone mentioned about struggling early on in your marriage, guess what happens? It comes back around because God loves us and wants us to work on those things. We go right, we hit it again. Right?
Right?
It happens again. Exactly. It happens again. And Susan used to ask me, why does it take you 10 times to learn something? I remember this is probably 20 years ago. And then I would go, well, now it's only 5 times. I'm getting better, right? It's not punishment. I'm running into a wall. So we kind of go around and around. And for some of us, it could be something like I spoke about earlier that we just avoid it. It's too hard. We just avoid it. Then there are others that we kind of go in it. We see it and we get in it. And oh, man, it's too much. And we go like this. And a lot of us have been there, right, where we try to go in it and push through. Maybe we don't have good support. Maybe we're just flailing. We don't know the answers. And we just go out of it. And I think that can be worse sometimes, because you experience all the pain of that adversity and you leave it and you're so glad to get out of it. Here, at least you're avoiding it, right? You're not experiencing the pain. I don't know if it's worse or better, but anyways. And then this is God's plan. God's plan is to go into the adversity, right? Weather the storm with his strength and kind of get through, so we don't have to keep going around and around and around. So let me ask you a question. Why do we struggle at times with kind of pressing on? What are some things that you guys have noticed in your own life and others that make it a struggle?
Indwelling sin, which so easily besets.
Okay, so our indwelling sin. Yep, that's a fatigue. Big picture. I think. What's that?
Fatigue.
So physical issues, right? If you're doing things, what else?
It's kind of what Mike said earlier. If we don't stay in the Word of God, we mm-hmm. focus.
Yep. Exactly. What else?
Loss of hope.
Yeah, loss of hope.
Fear due to a lack of faith.
Fear, feelings. Yep, I'm going to talk about that this morning. Anything else?
Dishonesty.
Okay.
Being truthful about what you're really in and what you're...
Yeah,
in
yeah. Okay, anything else?
It's just easier in the short run.
Yeah, it is easier. It is easy. It's easy. One of the things I find interesting, and some of you don't know this, I've spent many years in a counseling ministry, and I always ask this question somewhere along the line, and I get the same answer. It's the same answer. You know, why did you do that? You know, anyone ask their kid why they did something? Yeah? Did you ever do that? You ever get asked that?
I don't know.
What's the answer you get, right?
I don't know.
I don't know. Right? That's the same answer I get from adults. I don't know. Most people don't know why they do the things they do. And Paul laments that in Romans 7, right? 15, that we don't understand the things that we do. And someone mentioned earlier about the deceptive nature of our flesh, that we need to understand, at least to some degree, why we do the things we do. What makes us tick? I don't know is not a good answer, right? I don't know why I can't do this. I don't know why I can't remember. I don't know what's going on with me. We should know. And this morning I'm not going to give you six ways to be more focused or four ways to have a stronger 2018. I want you to have something that lasts longer and that's stronger. I want to help you see some of the roadblocks to pressing on. And if you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews 12:1. If somebody could read that, that would be great.
Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us.
I think weights is a great way to think about people. Imagine for a moment, if we could see on everybody the weights that hinder us, and they were on us, named, you could see things like someone struggling with shame, you know, a backpack of shame, like in Pilgrim's Progress, right? He had a pack of boulders on his back, or condemnation, right? Or the weight of fear and anxiety that people struggle with on their feet. If we could see that visually, I think we would understand, like, wow, that person's struggling. That's why they're struggling with running the race. And many of us experience roadblocks like this, but we don't know how to handle them. We don't know how to handle them. We don't connect our walk. You know, we'll read these words in the Bible. And my goal is not that you just only read the word, but there has to be a connection between your life and the Word of God.
Amen.
One of the things I'll ask people in counseling that are Christians is, how is Jesus and His Word helping you with this struggle? And guess what I get almost all the time?
I don't know.
It doesn't. It's not helping me. I remember years ago talking with my daughter about, and I get this, these are not easy concepts to grasp. I was talking to her about God being the God of all comfort, right? And she asked, well, how do I get comfort from God? That I can't see, I can't feel, I can't, you know, He doesn't hug me. And we had a really good conversation about that. But that's a good question. How do you get comfort from God? How does God allay your fears? How does God help you deal with these things? We have to ask ourselves those questions, right? How does God help me with this battle? You know, I read this verse, how does that connect? I remember, you know, the first day I popped in the DVD workout because I was too embarrassed to go to the gym. You know, I'm like the guy that's kind of skinny but has a big belly. It was kind of a fun, you know, I didn't want to go. So I popped that in, and it was so hard. I wanted to quit. And I think my daughter had walked in at the same time, and she was laughing at me. So that really didn't help me at all. Look at Dad jumping around. And, you know, and at dinner, I had to eat smaller, you know, servings, and I wanted to go back, and no more McDonald's French fries, and no more ice cream, and my kids are asking me to go to Wally's, you know, and do you want that? No, I'm good. And so one of the first roadblocks I want to talk about is our feelings. We don't talk about that a whole lot in church, but we need to. We don't like to ask the question, but I guarantee that most of us live by our feelings. Most of us live by our feelings. You know, we tell ourselves all the time, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like doing that today. Right? You wake up, what do I feel like wearing? What do I feel like eating? What do I feel like doing? Today, after church, what are you going to ask yourself or your spouse or whoever you're with? What do you feel like eating for lunch? I don't know. My favorite one with my wife is, well, I don't care. You do care, right? We have this joke, right? What do you want, Chinese? No. Do you want this? No. Well, you do care then, right? So, but we do live by our feelings. John Piper said this, that our feelings can turn into Judas feelings. They betray us. God created our feelings for both good, and they can also be used for bad. They can help us or they can hinder us. And thinking always comes before feeling. We need to take our thoughts captive.
Amen.
We need to take our... If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians 10:5, one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Someone could read that. Someone read that?
We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. Mm.
I want to say this clearly, and if you haven't learned this, you should know this. Our feelings cannot be trusted.
Right.
Our feelings. Anyone ever wake up on a Monday morning and feel down for no apparent reason? I don't know.
It's Monday.
I find this quite interesting if it's dark and dreary. But you know what's funny? That same Monday, it could be not beautiful and sunny out. And guess what happens to your feelings for some of us? Maybe you want to sleep. But our feelings are like, for some of us, are like a river that just kind of goes up and down, and there's no rhyme or reason. And you could have, and I've said this to myself, and I rehearse the truth. I have nothing to be dismayed about.
Amen.
Right? God saved me. I've got a great. But yet, my feelings are still my. They're just there, and I can't put my finger on them. They can't be trusted. We can't. Yeah, and they can't be trusted. We can't run our lives by our feelings. And that's what we do a lot of times. Because we allow our feelings to lead us. We're not taking captive those feelings and making them obedient to Christ. And so let me ask you a couple questions. What are some good ways to attack those feelings? Okay. All right. Truth, right? So you're attacking the feelings with the truth.
Right. And you obviously utilize the word led by the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
Psalm 42, I believe, 5, why so downcast, so yeah. Soul, put your hope in God. You talk to yourself instead of letting yourself talk to you.
Absolutely. Yep.
And
absolutely.
You say, this is wrong.
Yeah.
I repent, forgive me, I'm going to do it.
Tracy.
I think the other thing, too, is to maintain an attitude of gratitude.
Yeah.
Being thankful.
Absolutely.
Take care of that.
Yep. And what's interesting too is, you know, you can know it. Okay, this is how I feel, but this is the truth, right? And we have to keep rehearse. This is the truth.
Right.
This doesn't, whatever. It can be, isn't it amazing how feelings can be so powerful at times? Because, and that's why people struggle with living, because that feeling, it feels real, doesn't it? Even though it could be a total fraud, and we have to understand that we can't allow our lives to be driven by feelings. We have to take them captive. We have to jump on them right away. And when you look at that word in the Greek, that captive, we think of take it captive, you know, it's a very violent word. It's like slamming it down and just as a Roman soldier would take captive. You know, they're not going to arrest you. Okay, sir, let's, you know, get in the car. You know, I'm talking about grabbing that thought and just slamming it down as hard as you can and jumping out of you, not allowing it to roll around in your head, because you and I both know once you start entertaining it and rolling it around, what happens is then your desires start getting engaged with that emotion, and then you're fighting the battle on the losing end, right? When you're down here, you know, with your feelings, and you've allowed to kind of let it run for a while, it is really tough sometimes to get your arms wrapped around it. So I would encourage you to follow 2 Corinthians 10:5 of grabbing a hold of it. And what's interesting, when I first started doing this, it was hard because I had so many thoughts and things that I had just rolled around in my head that I never really trained myself to grab a hold of. And so it was very difficult because, you know, we can roll fears around our head and, you know, things like at work, problems that we have, problems with people, and we just let them roll around our head. And I would encourage you to start grabbing those immediately and taking them captive, because that is a big hindrance to walking faithfully with the Lord. Secondly, you know, we have a mortal enemy. No one mentioned this, and I know though he's a defeated enemy, he fights with his dying breath.
Amen.
As Baptists, we don't talk about Satan too much. I think the fear is, or in spiritual warfare, I think the fear is that we'll all turn charismatic and heaven forbid, you know. I don't want to see anyone rolling around the aisleway, but at the same time, you know, we avoid talking about an enemy who wants to destroy or and derail us. Every one of you as a believer has a target on your back.
Amen.
And at times we have to understand that we may be under spiritual attack.
Amen.
You know, we don't talk about it much, that we're being harassed by demonic forces. Ephesians chapter 6 says that our fight is not against the world, but against what?
Spiritual power,
not against flesh and blood. It's against spiritual powers of this world, right? That's our battle. Your battle at work, if you have a problem with a person at work, your battle is not with that person. Your battle is with the enemy, because that's who he's using to derail you. One of my favorite books that brings light to this is C.S. Lewis' book called Screwtape Letters. Great little book. If you ever wanted it, it's about two demons. You know, one's the boss and one's kind of his underling, and they're messing with somebody, right? How do you mess with this person? And I love one of the phrases that he says. He says this to him. He says this to the younger kind of underling demon. The more often he feels without acting, the less he will be able ever to act. And in the long run, the less he will be able to feel. You know, and there's just lots of interaction like that. We need to understand that there are times, and I'm sure you have done this, where just stuff is going on and you don't know what's going on and you're scratching your head. And we need to remind ourselves that, you know, okay, maybe you're not sin. Okay, it's not me sinning, right? It's not this. What's going on? Maybe Satan is messing with you. Maybe you're being harassed. Go ahead.
Gary, you were talking about 2 Corinthians 5, but if we back up to verse 3, it covers what you're saying, where it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
For the weapons of our war are not of flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. This was the NSAB. So, you know, then that speculations, and I think King James says imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes if we don't get a hold of our imagination.
Absolutely.
And just, you know, God reiterating this to me, the 2 Corinthians 5 verse, because I spent a lot of time with my son yesterday. It was his birthday. And I've asked this group to pray for him because he's living a homosexual lifestyle.
Mm.
And I just kind of happened to go on his Facebook page. That's dangerous.
Mm-hmm. It is. Absolutely.
And I saw some things that I probably just should never have seen.
Mm-hmm.
And so then the imagination
mm-hmm.
started.
Yep.
I was up to like 1 o'clock this morning because of the things I saw. And then I was like, what if?
Mm-hmm.
Why is he doing this? And, you know, all the questions I couldn't answer, and God took me right to the verse.
Absolutely.
So
amen.
Thank you.
Amen. 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 Lastly, another major obstacle to kind of pressing on faithfully is really the world we live in. I mean, think we live in a frantic social media, smartphone, instant gratification world.
Right.
And it really works against a methodic long race home to heaven. It really does. It really does. You know, and I have a smartphone. I have a Facebook. You know, the average smartphone user checks their phone 80 times a day. The average. That's not even one, we're just average. The average Facebook user spends 50 minutes per day. You know, on top of working, commuting, watching TV, eating, sleeping, cleaning your house, whatever else you try to squeeze in there.
Reading
your Bible, exactly. And really, we are constantly distracted from a Godward focus.
Right.
By the way, we are. Just living. And I'm not saying that we should go back to payphones, because that stunk. And no one carries change around anyways. I actually saw a picture of a payphone in Canada when I was fishing, and I took a picture of it to show my kids. Like, what's that, Dad? That's why. I want to show you what a payphone looks like. But all of us have to make conscious decisions, you know, about these things in our lives and how we limit them and what we do with them. And I'm not saying that we all need to be like the Amish and, you know, deny technology and make little laws and do things like that to get around it. But we do need to make those decisions about how we love our lives that way. So this morning, I've only got a few minutes left. I want to ask you, where do you find yourself being challenged with pressing on? Where do you start? That's what I want you to think about. Where do you find yourself being? And that's what I want you to work on. Are you derailed by your feelings? Do you allow fears, worries, anxiety, all the things that really, as you know, are out of your control? Do you allow them to lead your life? Do you get a sense that Satan is thwarting you? You know, maybe you're under spiritual attack. Or are you bombarded with life's distractions? Do you find yourself just kind of inundated with just all the stuff in your life? What are the weights that entangle you and slow you down? And I pray this morning that God will show you them clearly, and then pray that you'll be able to work on those and be released from those weights. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just, Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to talk about Hebrews chapter 12:1 and just pressing on, Father. And I know all of our desire, Lord, is to walk with you faithfully. And there are things, Lord, that we don't always see, and we're self-deceived, and I pray that you would open our eyes and help us work past whether it's our feelings or whether it's Satan or whether it's life's distractions or maybe some other things, Lord, that we're not willing or able to deal with. I pray that you would help us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.